in this name, Guhya. It's a major point for us, isn't it? That what are we doing in Krishna consciousness? Everything that we're doing is because we want to serve Krishna, be with Krishna. We're seeing everything. We see, we hear, we touch, we taste, we smell, we feel, we hear, we think about different things. But without Krishna, it's all meaningless and useless. We want to be with Krishna, see Krishna, serve Krishna. That is the aspiration of the devotee in this material world. But why don't we see Krishna? Why? He is Guhya. Difficult to know the... Baladev Vidyabhushan. He says that it's difficult to know the truth of his eternal transcendental form. Yeah, that... we discussed somewhat yesterday that Krishna, impersonal Brahman, yadadvaitam brahmo panishadi tadapyasya tanu bha. That generally when people think of spiritual life, they think of the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Ya atmantayami purusha iti so syangsa vibhavaha. And if they become more advanced, then they start to think of God. But they don't have a very clear idea. All-pervading Paramatma, we can say. Shadaishvarya purno yaiha. Bhagavan sasvayamayam natetanyat krishna jagati. Paratattvam parameha. But the ultimate realization is that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, replete with six opulences, and that person is who? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. None different from Krishna. So it's very difficult to know this for the topmost transcendentalists. Yesterday I read the first two verses of Kunti's prayers, and the third verse is Tata Paramahamsanam Muninama Malatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidharnatam Katam Pashema Histriya. Says Kunti says that the Paramahamsas, the topmost spiritually situated persons, Tata Para, who are thoughtful persons, with completely pure hearts, they can attain Krishna through bhakti yoga. And she expresses her ineligibility as a woman. That is, her humility, because Krishna is not unavailable to anyone under any material conditions. But generally, to pursue spiritual life, generally it's thought that one should be a Brahmin, leading a very, not by birth, but actually leading a very strict life, with not cultivating sense gratification, cultivating spiritual knowledge. Such a person has the eligibility to worship Krishna in the temple, properly qualified Brahmana. So it's generally thought that the Brahmanas are closer to God. Well, that's another way that Krishna's Guhya, it's a misunderstanding about him, that he can only be approached by... Generally, of course, that's the fact. Yeshang tvantagatang papam jananang punya karmanam tedvanva moha nirmukta bhajanti mandira vrataha. Generally, that's the fact that people who are sinless in this life and previous lives, that means generally that we consider that's a Brahmin. So, they get born in a Brahmin family because they were sinless. And they go on leading a sinless life. And they cultivate spiritual knowledge, and they're supposed to become free from delusions and dualities by doing so. And such persons can worship Krishna. Everyone can worship. But it's especially expected that those who are in the mode of life which is more conducive for that, that they will do so. Therefore, we find that Krishna says, Yepi Siu Papa Yonge. What's the first line of that verse? Mam hi partha via pashritya. Yepi Siu Papa Yonge. Striyo vaishas tata shudras tipi anti param gatim. Krishna says that even persons who are born in sinful situations, women, vaishas, shudras, they can attain me if they take full shelter of me. And then King Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajashayas Rajashayo Vidu Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvama. What to speak of those who are born in pious families in this miserable world where everything is temporary? If they worship me, surely they will attain to me. So it's difficult. It's generally, it's bahunam janmanam ante. There are so many verses. Gyanavam, maam prapadyate, vasudeva, sarvamiti, samahatma sudurlabha. After many, many lifetimes, one may come to understand him if one is pursuing the path of jnana. In Brahma Sanghita also, it's stated that Krishna is avichintya tattva. Even if one is very good at applying one's intelligence to try to understand the truth, still, or if one is a very seriously endeavoring yogi, pantastu koti shatavatsara sampragam yo vayora tapi manaso munipungavanam, sopyasti yatrapade simnya vinchintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The yogis, even if they travel at the speed of mind for many millions of years, they can't reach even to the tip of the toes of Krishna's lotus feet. Why? There's a fault in the whole process. Krishna adhokshaja, again, he's not with. Krishna can't be approached if we think through the mundane senses or the mundane mind. Ananya bhava, quoted yesterday from Yamuna Acharya. One who is fully absorbed in Krishna, they can understand Krishna, they can come to Krishna. Otherwise, he conceals himself to those who are not worthy. Just the same things I was quoting yesterday. Nahaṁ prakārśa sāvasya yogamāya samāvṛta mūrho yaṁ nābhijānati loko māma jamnāvyayam. He doesn't reveal himself to those who are not worthy, not qualified. There should be some qualification. Just like someone who's actually very wise or intelligent, they don't try to teach ineligible persons. Einstein didn't try to teach his theories to anyone and everyone. He would discuss with people who were suitable to understand. The universities, there's people, they have to get admission according to their qualifications, and then they have to hear from the professors. It's not that the university course is offered to everyone. That's higher knowledge in the university, but the highest knowledge is that of Krishna. So that knowledge should be given to people who are eligible, who want to take it. And in Krishna consciousness, the desire to to become Krishna conscious is the eligibility. Lolyam. Ah. Lolyam api mulyam ekalam. This strong desire to attain Krishna consciousness is the only price to pay for it. Now, this word guhya comes up often in Shastra. Famously in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam is the king of knowledge, the most secret. Even though Bhagavad Gita is available, we're distributing everywhere, but it remains a secret because one has to know how to access that. Monang chaivasmi guhyanam, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Among all things that are secret, silence. Silence. If someone's silent, then you don't know what they have to say. There are so many instances in history, and still probably going on right this moment somewhere in the world, of people being tortured so that they will reveal their secrets. They know something which others want to know, and they won't tell them, and they're tortured. You have to tell us, otherwise. So silence, by keeping silent, one cannot, it remains mysterious. Then, at the end of chapter 15 in the Bhagavad Gita, that Purushottama Yoga, when Krishna states that he is above the kshara and the akshara, above the liberated and the non-liberated souls. He's above all other categories. So at the end of that chapter, he says, iti go hyatamang shastram. This is the most confidential part of all the shastras. Idamuktam mayanaga etad bhudva bhudhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. And he says that if anyone can understand this, then their life is successful. And again, he says to Arjuna, iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyatarang maya. I've spoken this Bhagavad Gita to you. It's the most confidential of all confidential knowledge. And then vimrishyaita dasheshena yate chasita takaru. So now you decide what to do. You want to take this, you want to accept this? It's certainly a great mystery, isn't it? How Arjuna started the Bhagavad Gita, or the Bhagavad Gita starts, of course. Arjuna didn't think, now I'm going to start the Bhagavad Gita, but it's been recorded in that way. So Arjuna says, I won't fight, it's not good. I can't. Katam bhishma maham sankhe jonang chamadhu sudana. How can I attack? Ishubhi patiyotsyami pujaha varisudana. How can I attack in battle with arrows, Bhishma and Drona? And Bhishma, I was a child on his lap and he brought me up. Drona is my guru. I learned that whatever I am, it's all because of Drona. He made me, and then you want me to attack them. It's an absurd proposition. Crazy idea. So Arjuna seems to be right. And at the end, Krishna says, now I've spoken this confidential knowledge, now you think what you want to do. And Arjuna says, yes, I'll fight. Nashto moha smritir labdha tat prasadan mayachuta stitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. Yep, now my illusion's gone and I'll fight. What is this? Arjuna says it's not good to fight, And when Krishna gives the confidential spiritual knowledge, Arjuna agrees to fight. It seems to be wrong, isn't it? Not fighting is good. Of course, Arjuna is right. And what kind of spiritual knowledge is this? Where someone's a good moralist and peaceful and doesn't want to fight, and then by getting spiritual knowledge, he decides to fight. It sounds very dangerous. Of course, it has to be understood that although definitely the whole of Bhagavad Gita was aimed at Krishna inducing Arjuna to fight. If you want to say what's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, well, the specific purpose was for Krishna to induce Arjuna to fight. But that Arjuna should fight is not when Krishna says, iti te jnanam akhyatam guhyat guhyataram maya. When Krishna says, now I've spoken the most confidential of all knowledge, the most confidential of all knowledge is not that Arjuna should fight, but the spiritual knowledge underlying why in this specific instance Arjuna should fight. It's the practical application of the knowledge in that particular instance is that Arjuna should fight. But it also, there are many, many implications of this. Also, that what we may think as being very moral or proper might not be. What we might think is right from a material point of view might not be. What seems to be correct to us might not be at all. Just like it's a very commonly stated thing, which atheists think is a foolproof argument against God. Well, if God is all powerful, then why is there so much suffering in the world? If he's all powerful and all God, then and all good, then he should stop all the suffering. And if he's not all powerful and he's not God. And if he's not all good, if he allows the suffering, then he's not God. So how can there be such a person? Of course, in the guhya, in the confidential instructions that Krishna gives, he says, Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. We ourselves are the cause of our suffering and distress in this world. So, who's there behind the door? We don't know. Someone has rung the bell, we presume, from that sound. We don't know who it is. We can guess. And we are right. Hare Krishna, please come in. We can guess. Now we know. Iti. He's giving a little talk here, as you can perceive. So it's all guhya. It's difficult to understand. Hare Krishna. You all right to sit on the floor? You're not getting too old, a man? You need a chair? You can sit on the floor comfortably? There are chairs here if you want also. No, you're okay? Okay, bring a chair. Bring it. Okay, you can come and sit here, presuming that there's something worth hearing. Okay. So, then again, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the term comes Veda Guhya. You know that name very well, one of our God brothers. Veda Guhya. Means that, now this is something really remarkable, that the Srimad Bhagavatam, or knowledge about Krishna, is the most confidential part of the Vedas, or even if you know the Vedas or study the Vedas, you might not find Krishna. So many people study the Vedas, they don't find Krishna. In Brahma Sanghita that is stated, Vedeshu durlabham. Now, that's a very strange statement, isn't it? Because Krishna says, Vedaisya sarveraham eva vedyaha. In all the Vedas, I am to be known. But then, Vedeshu Durlabha. He's very rarely found in the Vedas. So all this is guhya. It's confidential and very difficult to understand. But adurlabham atma bhakto. Krishna is adurlabha. It means not difficult to find. Sulabha, also we find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, what is that? Ananyas chintayantamam yejanav pariyapasati teshang nityabhiyuktanam. No, that's the other one. What is that? Ananyas cheta satatam yomang smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabhang parta nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For one who's always engaged in Krishna's service, Krishna says, who's always thinking of me, ananyas cheta satatam, without, his mind doesn't go elsewhere, ananya cheta and satatam, both words, so it's really emphasizing, it means always thinking of me. Ananyas chetasa, yomam smarati, and then again for the third time, yomam smarati nityashaha, who's always saying, and Krishna says, tasyaham sulam, for such a person I'm very easily attained, because he's always engaged in my service. So that's the key, to find Krishna. One has to go through his devotees. Again, back to Bhagavad Gita. Sarva guhyatam ambhuya, shrinu me, again the word. Sarva guhyatam. Again and again in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, now I'm giving confidential knowledge. And finally at the end, sarva guhyatamam, now the most confidential. Shrinu me paramam vachaha. Ishtosi me dridamiti, tato vakshami te hitam. Now I'm speaking this for your benefit. And what is that most confidential knowledge? What's the next verse after that? Anyone? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskar. Mame vaishasi satyante pratijane priyosime. This is the most confidential of all. Krishna's spoken about, we're not the body, we shouldn't worship demigods. Well, actually, at one point, he does recommend it. But then again, he says, actually, it's not such a good idea. All the things he's been saying, this, we're not the body, don't try to enjoy going to the heavenly planets by the Vedas, no use to worship demigods, people who insult me, thinking that I'm just some manifestation of the unmanifest, avyaktam vyaktimapana manyante mama buddhaya. So in all these ways, Krishna is leading up to this point, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me, and this way you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very, very dear friend. So this is the most... sarva guhyatamam bhuya shrinu me paramam vachaha. This is the best of all knowledge. Again, we find Krishna speaking in the Bhagavatam. Famous verses. Jnanam paramaguhyam me. Now I'm going to, he says, the paramaguhya, most confidential knowledge, yadvijnana samanvita, which is linked with vijnana. Sarahasyam tadangam chagrahana grihana gaditam maya. Now I'm going to speak to you that most confidential knowledge, and that becomes the four verses which are the four seed verses from which all the Bhagavatam is expanded. So Krishna is guhya. Very secret, difficult to understand. Then why can't we? What is it? Why can't we understand? That's the Krishna's everywhere. We're in Krishna. Krishna wants us to come to him. Then why can't we find him? And for that, I'll just go over to this. Whoops, let's hope it comes up. It's Maya. In one word, we can say. Why is it that we don't find Krishna? We don't see Krishna? We can say, there's so many, in one word we can say Maya. It's just it's an illusion not to see Krishna, not to be with Krishna, not to be Krishna conscious. What is that Maya? In summary, that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Vyasadeva, who had compiled all the Vedas, and then he was told by Narada to meditate. You just find out. You'll find out why are you so morose? What's the problem? And then he meditated and he saw the Supreme Lord. What is that? Mayam Tatupashrayam. He saw Maya. Mayam Chatadapashrayam. He saw that the Maya is the under Krishna's control. And what is that Maya? Yaya samohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. Paropi manate nartam tatkritam chabhipadyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. What is this Maya? Why are we suffering in this world? Because we identify with it. It's something we've probably all heard many, many times, but because we identify, it seems so real, our present position. But then we have to hear from Shastra and understand that I am eternal. The body gets old. And then it gets born again. But I am not the body. I am nothing to do with everything I see all around me. Seeing, I see, I hear. But this is not my eternal situation. It doesn't. If we say, people say, "Oh, what are you talking about? This, what? Of course, this is real. This is reality." Now, in Western philosophy, there's a famous example of what's called Plato's cave. You know that? You know that? Everyone in the West knows this. If they know anything at all about philosophy, probably the university students you meet.
I've never heard of it. So Bhaktivinoda Tirtha Maharishi, he brings it up quite often.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I just remember reading fairly recently some devotee was distributing books in New York, and he came across a group of students, and he was in the park where they're doing kirtan. It's Washington Square Park, I think. You don't know, you're from the other side of the world, the other side of America. And he saw they were reading Plato. Then he started discussing with them, and he showed them the books and gave them some books. So some men are tied up in a cave so that their back faces... They can't see the world outside. All they can see is some light from some fire, and that's all they can see. And they've been like that all their life. Then one person escapes from that situation, goes out and sees the whole world, and comes back and tells them about the whole. And say, "What are you talking? Come on, this is all reality. It's the frog in the well. Similar, the frog in the well thinks." This is all there is. He can't imagine anything beyond it. Dr. Frog was a brilliant scholar, a genuine PhD. So this is the mind that we identify, we think this is all in all. How can there be anything beyond this? And you'll find this big PhDs. What God? What are they talking about? It doesn't make any sense. And they think they think everything should make sense to them. As if with their tiny little brains they can understand everything. So we don't see our actual situation. How are we going to see that? By hearing and understanding, I am eternal. I find in the West, when I'm speaking to groups of people who are not devotees or even individuals, it's very something that people can catch. You just tell them, look, I am eternal. You are eternal. We are not chemicals. And ooh, yeah. This body is all chemicals. I am not chemicals. When this body dies, I will continue to exist. And it's something that people can, they can catch that. So far, I didn't get anyone really challenging that, although some of them say, yeah, we are all chem. But where's... I am more than chemicals. I'm not nitrogen, oxygen, carbon, and all these different chemicals. So what are we exactly? Now, what are we exactly? And why we don't perceive that is discussed in Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit. Chitkarnajeev Krishna Chinmay Bhashka Nitya Krishna Deki Krishna Karen Adar. So what are we? We are chitkan. We're a little, the jiva is a particle of consciousness. And Krishna is the full, like the sun of consciousness. So that example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. It's like the sun and the little sparks of sunlight. So Krishna... We are spiritual and Krishna is spiritual. We're very small and Krishna is very great. So when we're not in Maya, then we recognize Krishna and worship him and everything is nice. So where do things go wrong? What happened? What are we doing in this miserable material world? How do we get here at all? Well, Krishna bahimukha hoya bhogavancha kare nikatastha maya tare japati adhare. As soon as there is any idea of becoming inimical to Krishna, then the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna comes and maya is just snatches us. Then what becomes our situation? Pishachi paile jena mati channa hoy maya grasta jive hoy she bhavudoy. We become like a crazy person haunted by a ghost. And we completely lose our proper understanding of who we actually are. So I may say, well, this person doesn't seem crazy. Seems like a very sophisticated and PhD. But the very fact that we think he's not insane and he thinks he's not insane is another sign that we're all insane, because sanity means to recognize Krishna. So we're all in this insane situation of thinking that I am this body and keeping this body comfortable and happy is the purpose of life. This is my house. These are my children. This is all maya. Ami Siddha Krishna Dash E Kotha Bhule Mayar Nafar Hoya Chirodin Bhule. I am eternally pure and perfect in Krishna's service. But forgetting that, we become a servant of Maya and wander around in this material world on and on and on, practically unlimited. Then Kobhu Raja, Kobhu Praja, Kobhu Bipra Shudra, Kobhu Duki, Kobhu Suki, Kobhu Kita Kudra. Sometimes we become a very big person. Not that often. Sometimes we become very big. Not very often, because even to get a human life is very rare. And then to become a big shot in this material world, it's very rare. The population of India now is 125 crores, I was told. That's 1,250,000,000. And there's one Narendra Modi, one Prime Minister. So that's one in 125 crores. But even 125 crores, even that is very little compared to the number of other living beings in this expanse of land, which is now called India. Probably quite soon, now the rain started, there'll be many mosquitoes. Not so much here, all the water drains away, but if you, even in Bengal, you'll find, because the water forms bodies of water, so many mosquitoes will come. There's just one, and so many mosquitoes, so many blades of grass. Then, Erupe Shangsha Brahmete Hoi Honajan Shadu Sange Nija Tata Abhagata Hon. So in this way, wandering around in this material world, completely bewildered, someone who gets the association of devotees, they can learn who they actually are. Nija Tata Jani A Shangsha Na Choi Keno Ba Bhajinu Maya Kare Hai Hai. Then when he comes to understand, I've been stuck in this material world, I don't want to be here anymore. And he wonders, why have I worshipped Maya? Oh, how I wasted my time for such a long time. Kende bale, oh hey Krishna, Amitabha Dash, Toma Charan Chari Hoilo Sarvanash. So he crying, he says, oh Krishna, I'm your servant, but giving up your lotus feet, I've been completely smashed. Kakuti Korya Krishne Dake Egba Kripa Kori Krishna Tare Charan Shangsha. So if one cries out like this with sincere feeling, even one time, then Krishna, being very merciful, will dispel his material, help him to get out of this material world. Maya ke pichane Raki Krishna pane chai Bhajite bhajite Krishna pada padma pai Pada padma pai. Then he turns away from Maya, and going on worshipping Krishna, he attains to Krishna's lotus feet. Krishna tare den nija chit Shakti Bal Maya Akashan Chare Hoyar Durbal. So Krishna gives him, infuses that person with his own spiritual energy, and then to such a person the attraction of Maya seems very weak, not very strong. How are you doing? How is everyone doing? We're feeling Maya's pulling us very strongly. We've got a long way to go. Shadu Shanga Krishna Nam Ematra Chai Shangsha Jinite Ar Kono Bastu Nai. So, Shadu Sangha, Association of Devotees. Shadu Sangha Krishna Nam. These two things. That's all I want. There's nothing else for coming out, crossing, conquering over this material existence. So that's it. Krishna is very mysterious and difficult to understand. Why? One word, the answer is Maya. How do we come out of Maya? These are all the questions. And the answers are there also. So Krishna, very mysterious, no doubt. But he shows himself to his devotee. He hides himself from the non-devotees. But he himself willingly, happily gives himself to his devotee. Oh, then again, well, okay, I'll just read one more thing. How Maya works. Well, there's a story in Mahabharata of how one king, he asked all the Brahmins in his court, how is it that Maya is so strong? You know this one? There may be so many stories about this. How is Maya so strong? Oh, that just brings to mind another one that Prabhupada sometimes told, that this is a Birbal Akbar story, I guess. In Bengal, it's Gopal Ban is the minister to the king. So Akbar asked Birbal, how long does sexual attraction continue? And Birbal said, up to the moment of death. And Akbar couldn't imagine. How can it be up to the moment of death? Surely when you get older, it goes away. When the body is so old and weak and broken down. So some days later, the minister came and said, told the king, come with me. Come with me right now. So the king, he could understand, if he says this, he's got some serious business. So he told him, bring your daughter also, young, beautiful daughter. So they went, and they went into the house of a man who was dying. And as they were going, the minister told the king that now we're going to go to the house of a man who's dying. Just when we enter, see what is the attention. See the eyes of that man who's going to die. Just on his deathbed. Mrityu Mukhi, facing death. So he brought him in with the daughter and they announced to the man who's dying, see, the emperor is coming to see you at the moment of death. He looked and he saw the daughter. He looked at her. And then Birbal said, see, at the moment of death even, that sexual attraction is there. He's thinking, I can enjoy. So this other story from Mahabharata is that the king asked all the different ministers, how is Maya so strong? So they asked, and all different ones gave their different theories. And one old Brahmana in the assembly, he didn't say anything. So when everyone had spoken, they all looked at him and said, he's not going to say something. So they're all looking at him, waiting for him to say something. All of a sudden he got up and there was a pillar in the assembly hall and he went up to it and grabbed onto the pillar and held it very tight and said, let me go! Let me go! Let me go! They all thought he'd become crazy. Then, after doing this for a little time, he stopped and he said, well, that's why Maya is so strong. We're holding on to it as tight as we can and saying, let me go. Once Srila Prabhupada was asked, why is Maya so strong? And Prabhupada said, because your determination is not strong. So really, it's up to us. Vimrishaite dasheshena yate chasi tatakaru. We've heard everything and we have to decide what we want to do. Krishna remains guhya for persons. He remains mysterious, difficult to find. for persons who fit this description. I'll read it from Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad's instructions. Matena Krishne Paratasvato Vamito Bhipadyeta Grihabratanam Adantago Bhya Vishatang Tamisram Punaf Punas Charvita Charvananam. If someone's made up their mind, I'm not going to be Krishna conscious. These people, these Hare Krishna devotees, they're not going to do anything to me. They can go on preaching to me. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Actually, there are quite a few devotees who, when they first saw devotees, they thought, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. In fact, I was like that too. Well, I didn't meet the devotees, but I first saw the books. My friend showed me some books which he'd got from the devotees. He said, like, oh, look, they're very interesting. I said, these Indian gurus, they're all bogus, they're all cheaters, I don't want to see their books. Well, it wasn't exactly that I was rejecting, but I didn't exactly have that attitude, but something like that. Why is that? Because they've decided that I want to enjoy my senses. And because of this, they're prepared to go to hell. Another story Srila Prabhupada told, that some missionaries were preaching to the people. They're all drunkards. So he told them, well, if you drink, you'll go to hell. He said, really? I'll go to hell? Oh, but I'm drinking, but my father and mother, they also drink. And they'll also go to hell. And my brothers and my friend, they'll also go to hell. So, well, it'll be very good. All my friends and everyone will be there. We'll all be in hell together. But they don't realize. Puna, punash. They're just again and again trying to get pleasure from that, chewing the chewed. Nate vidu swartagating hi vishnum durashaya ye bahirartha maninaha. They don't know that the goal of life, their real self-interest is in worshipping Krishna. Why do they think I won't worship Krishna? Because they think, well, I've got better things to do. We've all heard that, right? People say, oh, you can come, we're having a kirtan. No, I got better things to do. Why should I waste my time? I've got better things to do. But they don't know that their real self-interest lies in worshipping Vishnu. And although they're very hopeful of enjoying this material world, it's not going to happen. They're the blind following the blind. It's a common example given. Even in European, because it used to be that there'd be so many blind people wandering around the streets in medieval Europe, it seems. And there's a painting by Hieronymus Bosch. I remember seeing that it's a very graphic depiction of blind man and other blind men are holding onto him and they're all falling down in the ditch. Tepisha Tantra. They're tightly bound up by the ropes of Maya. They're thinking, I'm free. This is all Maya. All discussing here the effects of Maya. Then how to get free from that? Naishang matistava durukramang ring sprishatyanartha pagamoyadartha mahiyasam padarajo bhishekam nishkinchananam navrinita yavat. Such foolish men. Na esham matihi. People who have got such a foolish outlook, they cannot be attracted toward the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely free from material attachment. Okay, I'll finish there. Discussion of Guhya. And then the next name is, after that, is similar. What is that? I'm just looking at Gupta, is it? Guhya? No, Gabhira. Then Gahanaha. Then Gupta. So they're all similar meanings. All right, Hare Krishna. Any question about that? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.